After 28 years in the airline industry at United Airlines and Virgin Australia, then a dozen years as CEO of DFW, Sean Donohue's decided to go into the private sector, or retire maybe outright. Sean Donohue joins us right now. It's good to have you with us.
Great to be back, David.
That's a long time. I mean, that's a lot of cycles in a business that has been very, very volatile. Let's just look, looking at DFW, what are the biggest challenges you've had at DFW? Was it COVID?
Yes, COVID was definitely the biggest challenge, David. We, in the first 2 weeks when COVID really hit, we lost 95% of our business, 95% of our revenues. And luckily, just as the region bounced back quicker than most parts of the country, DFW bounced back quicker too. But yes, that was definitely the biggest challenge.
I remember we talked at the time, and I was astounded that you said you're not going to have any layoffs. And in fact, I think you dug into the coffers and actually helped out some of the tenants around here so that there'd be some places to eat and shop when we returned to normal, if we ever had returned to normal.
We did. One of the first decisions I made was I told all our employees no one would get furloughed. There'd be no cut to pay and benefits. And they were able to go home and tell their families that, and I think that was important. And then to your second point, we told all of our concessionaires, who are mainly small businesses, you know, women-owned minority businesses, we said, we're going to take care of you. We waived all their rental payments for close to 18 months. And when we came out of COVID, this is the most important piece, 98% of our concessionaires reopened and survived.
And you think that got you, that allowed you to get up and running faster than did some others?
Absolutely. The other decision we made that was very helpful is we kept investing in infrastructure projects. So we built the new gates in D South and the international terminal. We built new gates in C. We totally reconstructed one of our runways. Perfect time to do it. And that created almost 4,000 construction jobs during COVID. So that also benefited the community.
How did you decide to do that? There was no model for this. I mean, we'd never been through anything like this.
There was no model. And we took the position that travel would recover at some point. We had no idea when it would recover. I've always felt, David, that there's, I call it a spirit of travel. People want to travel. People want to connect. And we felt that would happen, and we felt that those were good investments to make, even though we didn't know how long the COVID impact would last.
So it's interesting. Like I say, it said in the introduction, I mean, you were at United forever, and Virgin Australia for a long time. But then you sort of crossed over the tarmac to the other side. It's really different on this side, isn't it?
It is, and as I look back, when I came here 12 years ago, no one knew me. No one knew me in the community. No one knew me in the airport industry. Obviously, I was known in the airline industry. And I thought I knew airports from being on the airline side, and operationally I did. What I didn't realize is the impact that airports have economically for the communities. And when you think of airports, people think of traveling. But if you look at our parking business at DFW, that's $200 million a year. That's a $200 million business unit. If you think of all the concessionaires, that's a $600 million a year business unit. We do commercial development. Amazon, I think, has 5 million square feet of warehouse space on DFW. I didn't know that about airports until I got here and learned that. So airports really are a diverse business that is more than just taking care of customers and running the airport day to day.
Some places, airports are a business. I mean, they're privately owned, and they're run as a for-profit. This is a weird structure. I mean, to me, this is a weird structure. You're not-for-profit, but you're not supposed to lose any money. You have bosses that are aboard, like everybody else, but they're these competing cities that are not necessarily pulling in the same direction all the time. And then there's this 800-pound gorilla called American Airlines that may be the ultimate boss. What sort of challenges does that present?
Sure. as you mentioned, there are no privatized U.S. airports. There are privatized global airports, as you pointed out. And in the U.S., we're all governed by certain FAA rules. And one of them is any profit that I do make at DFW, I have to reinvest into the airport. And that's what we do. So whatever money we make cannot leave the airport, has to be spent, and we put it back into our capital programs. Yes, I've got a board, a great board. The board is the governance of the airport. But Dallas and Fort Worth own the airport. And in my 12 years here, they have never been anything but supportive. And both Mayor Johnson and Mayor Parker, they realize the economic value of the airport, and they've been incredibly supportive. As it relates to American, yes, they are the dominant carrier at DFW. But I don't look at them as an 800-pound gorilla. I mean, I look at them as a partner. They've been a great partner. Robert Isom and his team have made incredible investments in this airport. And I don't think American gets enough credit for the investments they've made in the last 50 years at DFW. And last week's announcement, I think, was a great example of that.
Yeah, this is the new F that's going to bring still more flights. One of the things that's happened during your tenure is we've seen a lot more international service. Now, they've come and then they left, and now it looks like they're sort of coming back. But is the international – and you've passed Houston, I guess, for international service.
That was a focus area of mine when I came here, coming from outside the country, coming from Australia. It was pretty apparent that the success of DFW Airport and the success of the Dallas-Fort Worth region, everyone knew about the economic success of both in the U.S. But when we travel internationally promoting the airport, promoting Dallas and Fort Worth, people had no idea of the economic success of the region and the airport. And so that was an early priority. And you're right. When I got here, Houston Intercontinental, I believe, was 50% larger than DFW on international flights. Now I believe we're 20% larger than them. And I'm a competitive person, and I'm glad to see that progress. And international puts the airport and it puts the region on the global stage, which I think is really critical.
We're also a big, it's not very sexy to talk about freight, but this is an enormous area for freight coming back in and back out. That's a big part of the business.
It is. Cargo is very important to us. You know, we don't make a lot of money off cargo because, you know, we make landing fees. But economically for the region and the state, it's a big, big impact. And it's not only just for us, but just like the passengers connect in DFW, cargo connects in DFW as well. So we're facilitating that connectivity and that traffic, and actually that supports a lot of other communities in the state of Texas.
The location of DFW is just absolutely remarkable. I mean, we're smack dab in the middle of the country. And actually, it took me a while to understand this, but Bob Crandall from American used to tell me it was a great stopping off point from South America to the Far East, which to me made no sense. But we don't have any mountains. You know, we have, it's just hot as hell, you know, about half the time. We don't have a natural shoreline. How do you attract people to stay here and work here? Because you have a lot of people. And how do you attract the airlines?
Well, you're right. Geographically, we're dead center in the U.S. between East and West Coast, obviously on the southern tier. But as you know, David, the demographics of the U.S. are moving south, so we're benefiting from that. I believe what really makes the difference is, obviously, the state of Texas is very business-friendly. The people of Texas, and especially North Texas, are so welcoming, and we still have space. You know, it's been amazing to see the growth in the last 12 years, but when you fly into DFW and you look out your window as you're landing, there's still a lot of space and a lot of land to grow. When you fly into New York or you fly into Boston or you fly into Chicago, you don't see that. So we still have an incredible opportunity for growth. And you combine that with a business-friendly atmosphere, and you combine that with great people, I think the future is going to be very, very bright.
Well, you've been good to the area, and it's been a remarkable growth rate, you know, for this airport, and making it through some really tough times. I know you're headed back to the East Coast, where it's going to be a lot cooler, and you've got a lot of family, but you've also got a lot of good friends back here. So come back and visit.
Absolutely, and we're going to miss the people of North Texas. We're going to miss our friends and our coworkers, but I will come back and. But it's time to be with our family, and very much looking forward to that up in the Northeast.
In fact, I want you to join us on the show and talk again about the future for DFW. Sean Donahue, the CEO of DFW International Airport. For more of our conversation, go to KRLD.com/CEO. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.